Yes.
Right, last one. If what I've read is correct, it should work this time. So back in a moment. If not, I'm going to be screwing at Microsoft something chronic. Fuck you, Skype. Hello everyone, welcome back to the RMI FusionCast, where we talk about games. Yeah, we've been away for a while, due to numerous technical hindrances, wouldn't you say, Will?
Yeah. But before we continue, like I said, basically, we don't really put the podcast as our number one priority. It's pretty much like number two, because we've got our lives and things going on. Our lives are important first before the podcast.
It's very true. We do try to keep to our two weekly schedule, but like I say, things get in the way and things happen.
Yeah, that's life.
Yeah, definitely the way it goes. I beat the Holland with Jenny and company, and also with my son, and then my computer decided to go tits up, and then everything is just getting everything back to normal. But hopefully, we should be back to our regular 2 weekers from here on onwards. If not, we'll let you know.
Yeah, or we'll just make a music podcast just to fill in the gap.
Yeah, that could work. Anyways, like I say, I'm Tony, and Will's joining me today. And dude, what are we here to talk about this? For this fortnight?
Well, we're going to talk about the classic Bullfrog game, Dungeon Keeper.
Peter Molyneux. See, this is what you was doing before you gained a massive hard-on for Fable. Mm. you was actually creating games that were actually worthwhile, put it that way. Yes, Bullfrog Productions were the ones responsible, who at the time were working under EA, I do believe. And not only that, from Dungeon Keeper as well, they were also responsible for Theme Park, they were also responsible for Theme Hospital as well, and also the big-time classic Black and White, which I never played. Yeah, exactly. But I think we both play Theme Park and Theme Hospital, and we know they're great little games. And they also did Syndicate and Syndicate Wars. They're two very underrated games as well, if you like a bit of strategy on this. But we digress. We're here to talk about Dungeon Keeper.
Yep.
But before you do, Will, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been watching a DVD that I bought called Sanford and Son. It's basically the American version of the classic BBC Steptoe song, so I kind of got curious what the version is like, so I decided to buy it.
Mm. I take it it's got less racism.
Well, the two main characters are two African-American junkyard dealers.
Oh, okay. So yeah, they've kind of really spun it in his head then. Yep, right, Sanford and Son. Any more you could tell us about that?
Well, it was a complete, all six seasons on it. Contains all 136 episodes. Apparently, the DVDs are all right, but apparently the DVD thing itself is poorly done. You know when you see like normal DVD box sets, when you get like a big box and like little cases you can pull out?
Yeah.
Well, instead of like that way, they decided to basically put all the DVDs into one big container, so you have to like take the other DVDs out to get to the season you want to go to. So
that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, poor packaging on their part.
Yeah, fair dues. What you been playing?
Obviously, Dungeon Keeper as well, that we're going to talk about. And also been playing this RPG called Dust and Eternia's Tale.
Elysian Tale.
Elysian Tale, that you gave to me.
Yeah, it's kind of taken most of the team to heart, isn't it? Because Jenny's playing it and Andrew's playing it as well, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's probably the difference between me and Jenny and Andrew. She's playing on hardcore mode.
Yeah, she's not a wuss like you people.
No.
I know, but like I say, Jen likes a challenge. That's the main difference.
Oh, yeah.
That's very true. As for myself, well, the last thing I actually watched over the Japanese film Travelers, which TV Nihon gratefully... subtitled for us and beautiful people, starring Nao Nasagawa.
She's taken, Tony. She's taken.
Oh, shut up! I can dream. I'm not the only one. You look at the head of TV Nihon. He's got something worse for her.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad little film. Lots of fighting scenes going in it, and a pretty confusing storyline. But hey, it's Japanese for you. What more do you want? Mm. And do you expect any less personally from the Japs? Play wise, let's say I've had Dust for ages, but I didn't pick it up. I actually picked up Blood from GOG.
Oh yeah, classic.
Yes, I think it's one of the most. A lot of people talk about Shadow Warrior when it comes to the classic build engine games, but a lot of people will sidetrack Blood. And when it comes down to it, Yeah, there was four games that was released on the Build Engine, as far as I know. You had Duke Nukem 3D, yeah. Blood, Shadow Warrior, and there was another one called NAM 1973 or something like that, which was absolute cack, because it kind of released way when Quake 2 came out, so it was really, really behind the time. But in my all honest opinion, I honestly believe that Blood is the best one out of a lot of them, because they really, really tinkered with the Build Engine.
Really did.
Yeah, they done a few things which even 3D Worms went, huh.
And it's a shame that he hasn't got a HD remake like Duke Nukem 3D did and Shadow Warrior did.
I'll tell you one thing, even though I've got it on GOG, if they did the similar sort of thing how they've done with the Duke Nukem Atomic Edition and the Shadow Warrior, I will gratefully buy it.
Oh, I would
again.
Definitely, I would, because it's pretty much one of the most underrated games out there, really, to be honest.
It really is, and for my cases, how many other first-person shooters do you know that you can use a voodoo doll?
How many first-person shooters can use a rake as a weapon?
Yeah, true, you've got a pitchfork.
Pitchfork, I say.
Yeah, and also whip out your lighter and give them some spray.
Yeah, lighter. It works really well. It's like a flamethrower.
Exactly. I think we're gonna have to have a look over this one and podcast this one, dude.
Yeah.
Under the RMI Classics.
Yep.
But anyway, should we get on to Dungeon Keeper?
Yes, because we've been a bit sidetracked here.
Sidetrack is what we do best.
Oh, it makes sense.
Right, Dungeon Keeper, small statistics, Bullfrog Software, which we already know, released in 1997, I believe. Pretty good for its time and rather impressive. Now, as far as it comes for this podcast, I'm the expert to this, because I went for it, and you were only really bought into the Dungeon Keeper fray after it was given away free on Valentine's Day, weren't you?
It was. Now, I have to say about that thing, about the giving away free on Valentine's Day, everybody went for it. When I actually claimed my free copy, I had to wait quite a while for it to actually process through, because a lot of people were getting it.
Yes, I was actually the same as well. I think I put my order in. I think it wasn't for about 6 hours later when they told me, "Oh, by the way, it's ready. You can pick it up now." So,
but
yeah,
the version they were giving away was Dungeon Keeper Gold.
Yeah, and for anybody who's listening, Dungeon Keeper Gold is the original Dungeon Keeper and its expansion set, the Deeper Dungeons. And for anybody who wants to know a dungeon expansion set in a more modern day era, DLC.
Yeah.
But it wasn't downloadable, it was disc loaded content. Yeah, that'll work.
See, back in our day, we had to get expansions on disc.
Yeah, it was the same thing as DLC.
Yeah, it's the same, but you just put it on a physical copy.
Yeah, and that's all it was. So DLC's been around for ages, people. Just remember that one. And also, as a bonus, they were also selling Dungeon Keeper 2 for something ridiculously like $1.50, which is about 90 pence, if I remember rightly. So, yeah, they did a good thing with that. But all in all, the whole entire reason why I reckon they did it was because of the absolutely garbage reviews Dungeon Keeper Mobile were getting. Oh. Now, I know far too... Yeah, GOG pissed off EA before when they did... SimCity 2000, when the new SimCity went completely tits up, and now they kind of done it again to him by giving away Dungeon Keeper for free, and that must have irked them off somewhat. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. It's something I just don't understand. You could have just easily ported the 1997 one onto a mobile phone device. It wouldn't be that hard.
Well, what we'll do is I'll get onto the mobile phone version at the end, because I'm the only one that's played it, but we'll get to the main game itself. Right. First impressions has been the newcomer to the game. What was your impressions, dude?
Well, since I'm like a newcomer to the game, I didn't expect like really well much from it. But after playing it like two or three levels, got really right into it. It's just don't know why, I just got really into it. Just I couldn't stop playing for hours. I just every time I always play for that, I look at the clock and I say, bloody, I've been playing for that long, Jesus.
Dungeon Keeper, that was the same on my first impression when I got it, and I got it back in 97.
Well, I was pretty young in 97 anyway.
Yeah, I think I was, how old was I? I think I was about 17.
I was about 9.
Yeah, so, and believe it or not, Dungeon Keeper didn't have an age rating on it. Make that what you will. But yeah, it was the first of its kind, really, where you could actually physically play the bad guy.
Yeah.
On the game, where you are the almighty keeper, and you're sitting there building out your dungeons and looking after your little creatures who decide to come and inhabit your dungeons.
Yep.
And then later on, these like the forces or good will show their face, so you give them a good kick in and send them packing. Or some other keeper may think that he's getting too big for his boots, so you need to go in there and show him who's boss.
Yep.
So one thing I want to start with on this one is, especially for someone like you, the learning curve. What did you think of how it introduced all the new content to you?
It was actually pretty easy to understand how it basically works. The one thing I had trouble understanding is, like, for example, when you get, like, to actually attract the monsters to your dungeon, you need, like, a bigger foundry with the food used to attract the bowel demons, and you need, like, a certain size of the library to attract the warlocks. So it's basically you more need to, like, get, like, a certain size so they can attract to come into your dungeon.
Yeah, it goes for the classic undertone of bigger is better.
Yeah.
When because you've had a few fights against the other rival keepers, and you said to us that how do I attract the more monsters? When we said to you just need a bigger room than theirs, and you was like, huh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The game in itself does have a management sort of system, but it's not very in depth as that one. So it's not SimCity in depth. Let's put it that way. I don't know. I found the learning curve for the game myself very, very well done, because the game itself is split into 20 stages.
Yeah,
and every stage it always introduces you to one new room and maybe one or two new spells to add to your arsenal. And they always give a nice full explanation on how each one works. And to give you the truth, honestly, some of them are pretty much simple. They say it's like lightning bolt spell. I wonder what this does.
Trigger happy with that lightning spell because it costs gold to use.
Indeed. There is simple. It's simple resources in the game. It's basically just gold on that
but
one.
But when you find the gem source, unlimited money for you, sir.
Oh yes, indeed. Lots of unlimited money, but you'll usually find those on stages, especially where it's a very long, drawn-out fight.
Yeah.
Between them, and there'll be some stage where you come along where you're actually very, very limited in the money you got to do. So you actually have to make some very smart choices in what you're doing. This one,
because if you don't have enough gold to pay your inhabitants, they'll get annoyed and leave you.
They'll leave you. Oh, what? None of them have started smashing up your dungeon yet?
No.
Oh, yeah, they do that as well. The minions in themselves which come into your dungeon, let's talk about their habits first as well. There's a nice variance of monsters to the game. I think there must be at least 15 to 20 different types of monster once you get up to the full rank of the levels available to you. So they'll come in, and if they like your dungeon and they like what you're offering, then they'll say, yeah, I think I like it, and then they'll move in. You need to provide food for them. You need to provide a nice, cosy home for them as well, so they can sit around and just sleep when they need to. Certain monsters are attracted by various rooms, which basically sit there and basically whets their appetite. Put it this way. So Will, you know what sort of monsters like what sort of room?
Yeah, like if you have the torture chamber, they'll attract the mistresses, and if you have the training room, they'll attract the demon spawns. Now, the one thing I do like about the training room, when you actually put them in there, when they start training up, they start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the one thing I did like about the training room bit.
Yeah, exactly. And every time they level up, because each monster in itself can attain a maximum of 10 levels, they basically all do a little dance.
Yeah.
Whenever they go up a level, and it's quite good in that aspect. So it just gives the creatures that little bit more life, and it's also because of those simple animations as well. It shows you whether they're happy in what they're doing as well. If you think they're doing well, if you deliberately want to keep them training or something like that, you could drop them a chicken every now and then. Or drop them some money, and then they'll be more encouraged to sit there and carry on doing their training and not sleep.
And there's one good thing I like about Dungeon Keeper as well, when it also tells you when you need a bigger treasure room or a bigger layer or a bigger food source and a bigger treasure room and all like that.
Yeah, there's no silence among it. I know certain games which go into management software, after a while they stop telling you that you need these things.
Yeah.
And it's like, hello, yes, why didn't you tell me this going on? But naturally, these are creatures of evilness alongside this one. And of course, certain creatures won't get on with each other.
No, they don't. Seriously, no. They don't.
If you get spiders and flies and bile demons and skeletons living together, they start fights amongst themselves. So you then have to exercise possibly one of the best features I think again, and that's your backhand.
Yeah, just slap it and they'll stop. But it might not work all the time. You have to keep constantly doing it most of the time.
It's true. And the funniest thing is, if you slap a mistress, she actually gets happy that you've done it.
If you slap a bile demon, it gives you the two middle fingers.
Yeah, it does.
Gives the two fingers.
Again, it's those small little details which are really, really good. Yeah. It's like, I remember when I slapped the bald dude for the first time, he's sitting there sticking his fingers up at me. I'm like, wow. you must have the grunt with me. But like I say, as you progress through each stage, as you get given a new room, later rooms you get will enable you for research, like the library will give you your room research and your spell research. And then, just like any good dungeon, you can then later get a workshop where you can actually build doors and traps.
Yeah.
So you can booby-trap your dungeon whenever the good guys show up, and then do a massive amount of damage to them before they even get to your dungeon heart. Which, for the dungeon heart, is the main core of the gameplay. That is the thing you must protect.
Yes, if that gets destroyed, it's instant game over.
It is an instant game over, and you walk away demoralised and just generally feeling like shit on that one. So, yeah, your dungeon heart is what you've got to protect in all aspects. So as you expand through each of the maps, you can chip through the rocks, and then you'll find various other things. There may be even little power-up boxes as well, which could give your creatures instant level-ups, may even be able to resurrect a creature, or maybe transfer a creature into the next stage alongside of you. I know during most of the campaign, there's always one box to take one creature with you.
Mm-hmm.
What you choose to take with you is up to you. So you generally, on that side of it, it's general dungeon life, isn't it?
Yeah.
While people aren't busy, as I say, things like if you don't tell them two things like the demon spawn and various other monsters will be in the training room.
Yeah.
Trolls and orcs will be in the workshop beavering away. The bile demons are very good for working in the workshop as well. And then, of course, the ghosts will hang around the temple. The dark mistresses will be torturing themselves in the torture chamber.
Oh, yes.
Yes, weird women they are. So you'll probably need to pick them up every now and then and give them a new assignment, but they always have a sort of home where if you're sitting there thinking, well, my troll ain't training, where's he going to be? He's going to be in the workshop doing something else. So that way the AI is pretty damn good.
Mm.
So it's like, if you know your creature, if you instinctively know where they're going to be hanging out if they're not training on that, so or if they're not researching. So that was very well done in all aspects for the game. So kudos for Bullfrog for actually producing a very good system for that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah. Have you got any personal monsters you like?
I actually do like the Warlocks. As soon as you get them to like level 10, they're like really, really good.
Mm. The mistresses are very good at level 10 as well,
yeah,
because they gain the Warlocks Lightning Bolt as well.
Oh, do they?
So, so then they also get the ability for long-range combat as well as close-range combat. Very, very good.
And also, if you train up your demon spawns to about level 10, they turn into dragons.
Mm. And not only that, they're very, very good fighters, plus they're also very good researchers as well.
Ah.
So, again, the gameplay folds in very, very nicely with each other.
It very does.
And then you also various other rooms that you can get into your dungeon as you get through later games, including the prison. So if you don't want to kill all your people, you can just beat them unconscious and then imprison them.
Yep.
And basically, if they die in prison, then they turn into a skeleton ready to serve you. Or you could chuck them in the torture chamber and then try to either make them join your side, die miserably, or maybe get them to squeal information on the enemy's base.
And also, if you have the graveyard research, you can put a cemetery down, and they'll take their corpses. Imps will take the corpses to the cemetery, and you will get vampires.
Mm. So again, it gives you another nice balance of choosing what you want to do with these monsters.
Yeah.
So. do you want to put them in prison? Do you want to switch that prison off for a moment so you can bury a few and get some vampires? Quite a lot of tactics that can open up to you.
Yeah.
That are very simplistic. And again, the game itself doesn't overcomplicate this, does it?
No, it does get... Some levels will be easy and some levels will be quite hard. It really needs to put your head... Really need to think about what you're doing.
Because, like I say, when you're on some stages where you've got some very limited cash in what you do...
Especially, what was it, Tickle, weren't it?
Mm.
God, that one really annoyed me to bits. It took me ages to do it. But when I finally done it, I felt really happy.
Yeah, vindiction. Vindicated.
It was like, fuck yeah, I've done it.
Yep, and then you go to the next fight, it's like, oh shit, this one's just as hard.
No, it was quite easy. As soon as I found the gem source, that was it.
Wait till you get to the last level, you got to fight the Avatar. you're gonna get butt-whooped. I'll put it that way. Dungeon life is nice and simplistic in this game. Mm. It runs figure as long as you can pay your creatures, and as long as they're all happy and they're fed and watered, then they'll do their bidding, and they'll basically do what you say. Including if you have to sit there and hoik them up, and they just drop them into battle using your big mystical hand, which I think is a good feature.
Yeah, and also if you press Alt and R, it'll change the graphics to sharper.
Ooh, I had that just in mind, didn't I?
Yes.
Yes. Being a very old game, the graphics, like I say, we're not talking high definition here.
No, we're talking about standard.
Yes, we're talking standard low res. We're talking like 240p here, people. Probably not even that. So, yeah. But the original Dungeon Keeper does come with a high res mode. Inside it.
Now, there's a bit of a glitch in the high-res mode for some odd reason. When you leave it on that for a long time, your mouse will mysteriously... Icon will go mysteriously stuck in the corner. To actually unlock, to undo it, just press Alt and R again to back to standard, and then you'll be able to full control over it. For some reason, I had that problem on the few of the levels, and it's really annoying.
Despite its age, what do you think of the graphics for the game?
The graphics look alright, they look awesome.
Because all the monsters are 2D sprites, just built 8 ways, typical old-fashioned way. But no, they do look fine. When they do grow in size, some of them can get a little bit pixelated, but I don't think that detracts from the gameplay whatsoever on it. So, it's all good. And how good is it when the Lord of the Land shows up and you give him a good kicking?
Big lump of cash afterwards.
Oh yeah, it's like payday has arrived. So if you like management, games, but if you don't want it to be too heavy on what you need to manage, and if you also enjoy beating the crap out of people, or ordering an army to beat the crap out of people, Dungeon Keeper is a pretty good font for its money, I reckon. What do you say?
Yeah, it is. It's really, really, really worth your money.
Have you listened to the soundtrack while you've been playing?
Yes, I have actually.
What do you think of the soundtrack? Because I think the soundtrack is really good. It really does get the feel of a dungeon.
Yeah, it does. I can agree with that. It does give the feel you're in the dungeon.
There's no cheerful tunes in this game at all. No, there's no happiness here. Apart from on the map screen when you get put towards there, but then you've got the keeper's voice, and he comes up with a humorous... description of all the area, doesn't he? The keeper's introduction as well. Once you finish your stage, if you listen as well, he basically gives you a little talk on what the town is now called and what's going on. I think the funniest one where at the start of it he's sitting there and he's talking about it's like where they worship the common rabbit, and it brings love, joy, happiness, and more bunnies to the whole area. And when you actually finish that stage, it turns out they say we've made a great magic carpet out of all the little bunnies. So it just shows that the keeper's voice in this one is very sadistic in all aspects. But again, it just adds to the charm. It's like you are a bad guy. You're not doing nice things.
No.
And there's no remorse in this game whatsoever, is there?
No.
I think that overall that was the major draw to the whole game. Is like I say, evil is good is its motto, and it's true. You're playing an evil son of a bitch, and it's good to play that sort of person on that one. The game will run on any system now, especially for the GOG version of it.
Because they updated it for current Windows operation software.
Yeah, it runs under DOSBox. I know there is available a project to get it running under OpenGL and all that lot and higher resolutions. But to give you the truth and honesty, it doesn't need it.
No, not really. Because you could just press Alt and R, and there you go.
Yeah. No, I'm talking major scale resolution shifts. Huge resolution shifts on that one. But once you've done the old 20 missions, one thing you probably don't know, there is actually certain jobs that come up when certain dates come up as well. See? That's one thing I didn't tell you about. When certain dates hit the thing, I do believe there's definitely one that comes up on Halloween. Then what happens is an additional flag will appear on the map screen, so you need to keep an eye on it.
So Dungeon Keeper was one of those games that used the computer turn clock as well?
Yes, it did. So when it detects it's Halloween and various other dates, then an additional task will come up for you.
What would they call now in today's modern times? Events.
Events, it's true. And the only... I know you've got timed events as sort of thing, but... The only one game that I remember that actually kept it secret was Metal Gear 3 when you was fighting the end.
Yeah, definitely, because if you spent too long doing anything, he automatically dies of old age. And also your food can go off as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very rare that games do use the internal clock thing, but when they use it, it's used very well.
Yeah, and Dungeon Keeper was used very particularly well to basically hide a few additional stuff inside the game.
And
so people can...
The only earliest game I know that used the Eternal Clock was Monkey Island 3, when you're in the middle of town and the clock moves by the clock on your computer.
Ah, see? When it can be done well,
yeah.
It is done well. Put it this way. Faults and gripes with the game, with Dungeon Keeper... I can't think of very many. The one thing it really needed was drag and drop selecting. That is something it needed desperately, wouldn't you agree?
Definitely.
Because it's a pain in the ass when you've got a hold and you can't drag over an area what you want to dig out. You've basically got to draw a line around then basically fill it in. It's like a dungeon colouring book.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Because if the other keeper has his back piece taken, you can't land them on there. You only can land them on your piece.
Well, let's talk about combat. Now, combat isn't really something that's all too tactical, really, is it? Basically, you need to train up your troops and then basically just rush in there and grab hold of them. Have you actually sat back and used any sort of tactics to your advantage, or did you just do the old get in there and kill them routine?
Get in there and kill them all routine.
Okay, you're going to need to swap that before you reach the avatar.
I know.
Yeah, you can later on, and of course, if you could get two parts of the area, you can then do a two-pronged attack. But if you're playing against rival keepers as well, the AI will try to snatch back your thing.
Yeah.
And the AI, if you let it run right, he is quite smart.
Yeah, he's very smart.
And he's not afraid to withdraw his troops if he knows he's going to get a pasting, or if he takes heavy losses, he will try to pull a few back to defend his heart with. So the AI in itself, especially for the time, is pretty damn good, if you ask me. I think it's a real lost classic, and I really do think that Peter Molyneux needs to get the license off EA.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a shame, because as far as I'm concerned, if you look at what was there, EA fucked over Syndicate and turned it into an FPS game. Theme Park, well, we've not seen a theme park game in God knows how many years on that one. There's no sign of a new theme hospital.
No.
Black and White is practically gone. So, unfortunately, Bullfrog left a dying legacy, and it never really pulled back again.
No.
And it's a shame, because Dungeon Keeper was definitely a classic, and it's all occurred. And for anybody who's got a PC, if you missed this game, it's a shame. But thanks to sites like GOG,
yeah.
you could get hold of this one. I believe it's $5.99, which works out about £3 or £4. It's definitely worth the cash.
It is, definitely.
And apparently the multiplayer works on it still. They actually made an IPX tunneler, so you can actually still play multiplayer Keeper, which we haven't done properly yet, have we?
No, because if I start playing multiplayer with Jenny, she'll probably get everything ready before I even started.
No, you just need to use your Keeper skills and just get the things in there and then see what comes. Because the multiplayer side, I did play multiplayer, you need to have the bigger rooms fast, because the monsters split between who really do show their alliances to... Yeah, exactly. So the multiplayer does have a very different feel to the whole sort of thing. So where you may have grabbed all the warlocks, I may have had a bigger hatchery than you, and I'm going to come pound your flat with a whole army of bile demons. So the multiplayer takes a swift turn on that one, and the tactics have to change for it on that one. A tactical game, definitely, on all aspects. It's definitely worth a look at. If you want to go to GOG.com, slap Dungeon Keeper in there, and then get hold of yourself a copy. It's only going to cost you a couple of quid, not bank-breaking stuff, and definitely worth cash. Any last thoughts on your behalf?
Just no, I think it's a pretty solid classic. I would really highly recommend it.
Yes, definitely on that one. Dungeon Keeper, there is Dungeon Keeper 2. I didn't finish that one in the day. I did buy that one as well, so I will go back to it at some point. But it did clear up a lot of the problems that would go with the first one, changed a few things, but essentially it's still Dungeon Keeper in all aspects. And it was a nice sequel to what was a good game. I don't know whether I'll say it was better, but it was definitely on par. On aspect. And now we come to the part of the podcast I've been...
Oh, yes. You're just waiting to dig your claws into this one, aren't you?
Oh, I dug my claws into it as well. EA, at the end of last year, decided to release Dungeon Keeper Mobile. And, God, I hate the fact that EA still have this fucking license. I really, really do. And I installed it, and I was wondering what to expect from it. When you click out certain tiles, it's like, yeah, that'll be 24 hours. Or give us some gems. Okay, and well, let's put it this way. Your strategy elements, gone. Your dungeon basically has turned into a bloody tower defense game. Put it that way. That's basically what it's turned into. So all your real-time elements is gone. The ability to create rooms of whatever size you want, all gone. There's only 9 monsters in the game. There really is. And basically the Horn Reaper is now your bloody tutor to it as well.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's basically all it is. But when you look at it, it's like, oh, you need some more rock. No, got enough? Here, buy some gems. If you want to do this, oh, you want to speed it up? Buy some gems. And it just fucking annoys me. Everything has a price. Everything has a gem value on it. Buy more gems. And I said, if you want to dig out certain sections of wall, oh, that'll be 24 hours. Why am I waiting a day to dig out one piece of wall? Seriously. And then of course, there's always the little thing on it. Oh, spend a few gems to speed this up. It's Total Biscuit come into a great, great description of this game. It's turned into a real-time strategy sort of game to a game where you wait and do nothing. And that is solidly true. All you do is nothing. And every moment I spent playing it on my phone, I just got agitated and agitated. And it was just... Microtransactions in games are fine. Yeah, if done properly. But you here have EA will sit there, virtually everything you press, use gems to speed this up, do this to speed this up, but it's just like, no, enough's enough. And they try to say, oh, but we've come to an agreement that our research staff said that this is the way that we believe is fair to our customers. What, on your say-so? Yeah, what you believe? How about asking the customers? And don't forget, they had the whole facade on the Google Play Store where if you didn't give the game 5 stars, the game booted up wanting to know why.
And also, it'll change difficulty to harder level.
So it just blows my mind. It really does, and just how fucking awful. What just a shameless cash grab that EA have turned the franchise into.
It's just basically name only, and that is it.
That is it. That is perfectly it on that one. People, let me put you this way. If you want to play Dungeon Keeper, for the price it costs you to probably build a room in Dungeon Keeper Mobile, you could probably go and buy the original Dungeon Keeper game and have a hell of a lot more fun with it.
You definitely would. And also, someone made a hack of the mobile phone version that you can download a cheat device and get you unlimited stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, I've played it for more than enough. I'm not even going to warrant it any more interest, let's put it that way. No, if for anybody out there, please support the original Dungeon Keeper. Go to GOG and buy the original 2 games, and you will get some fun time. just please don't support the mobile crap.
No, no.
It doesn't deserve your time. It doesn't deserve your money. And it's just EA being a bunch of greedy fucks like they usually are. Put it that way. So, evil is good. I think EA took that catchphrase just a little too far.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely. Mm. I hope when Peter Muller sees what EA is doing to his bloody well franchises, I hope he basically goes and tries to rescue them.
Well, saying that, there is a game on Steam, which is a early beta game,
mm-hmm.
Which is called War for the Overworld, which is what the first Dungeon Keeper game would have been called. And it is a very, very close homage to Dungeon Keeper.
Oh.
It's very close, this one. And it has had Total Biscuit's approval. It has had Peter Molyneux's approval as well. Peter Molyneux himself has approved this game as the worthy successor to Dungeon Keeper.
Spirit.
Because that... Yes. Because that piece of crap on the mobile phone... Hey. like I say, if you want to see what the Horn Reaper can really do, get hold of Dungeon Keeper 2. He had a lot better attitude, a lot better personality. And if you do actually want to have a laugh, look for one of the trailers on YouTube for Dungeon Keeper 2, where they basically tried to interview him on camera, the Horn Reaper on camera. It's really quite an amusing trailer to actually watch. And it's definitely worth a giggle. It still holds up for a laugh after today. Okay, right. That's done for this fortnight.
Yeah.
Short and sweet, and that's how we like it. Right, don't know who's going to be on the podcast next. We're still discussing that one. But we'll get round to something this one. So we'll be back in a fortnight. Please, if you enjoy our podcast, please drop by the site and sign up, www.rmifusion.com, where we sit there and we review our games, we do our Let's Plays, and just anything to do with gaming, Japanese TV, we're trying to get film reviews in as well. So we're becoming a good jack-of-all-trades site. So if there's something you like, then... come down and review it. We're still looking for people who may want to join the site team and produce videos for us, so please come, let yourself be known. I'm pretty sure we can help you out there and get you off your feet. So like I say, pop down to www.rmifusion.com, say hello in the forum, and then we'll see if we can get the whole entire site talking, and let's talk about stuff that we all enjoy and not talk about the likes of EA who are trying to butt fuck their fucking fans. Okay, anything from you, dude?
Nothing that I think of, really.
nothing good you saw on YouTube?
No, not really.
No, it's been quiet, hasn't it? The new consoles have ticked by, and I think everyone who's bought them and now suddenly realises, like, there's no games for it. Well, to tell you the truth, if you actually have a look on the online stores, for both consoles, I think Sony's actually has more game variety than what the Xbox One does, put it that way.
Yeah, definitely.
On that one. Okay. big thanks to everybody who's listening in. Please continue to listen to us. We're now pro on things, so we'll be able to sit there and give call outs if anyone gives us a good message on things. Onto Podomatic, because guess what, we're not listening to iTunes. On that one. But if someone does stick a review on iTunes, then of course we'll obviously support that one. If you are a fan of funny fantasy fiction, I'm going to do a shout out to these guys. They are the Fantasy Fiction Podcast. You can find them on Podomatic, you can find them on iTunes. Two American guys who sit there and they write very funny fantasy stories each week. Definitely worth a listen to if you want to have a laugh and just generally hear fantasy stories that go way out of there, including one about a barbarian who crashed into a bad guy with a meteor. Make that what you will. But the Fantasy Fiction Podcast, we'll try and leave a link in the bottom of the box. But if you're into strange stuff, it's definitely worth listening to. Okay, right, I think that's us done. Right, so I'm going to say it's a goodbye from me,
and it's a goodbye from me,
and we'll see you in a fortnight. Right, bye bye.
Good night.